All right, open your Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, 22. Now, to give you a chance to be ready to take in the Word of God, it's important that you, as a believer priest, use the rebound technique, if necessary, that you might be filled with the Spirit. The only way you can understand the teaching of the Word of God is through the filling of the Spirit. And therefore, tonight, to give you the opportunity of so doing, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer to prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God this evening. Let us pray. Now, Father, may God, the Holy Spirit, take the things of the Word and make them a source of blessing and challenge, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 22. Ephesians 4, 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, this particular area of the Word of God is very essential as far as spiritual growth is concerned. So we're going to break it down and take it line by line here and see if we can get this thing straightened out and squared away. First of all, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 begins with the word that. And that introduces a purpose clause. And every time you have a purpose clause addressed to a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it delineates some facet of the Christian way of life, some purpose that God has for you. Every purpose clause teaches something about the will of God for your life on this earth. And so this particular phrase introduces something about the will of God for your life here on this earth. The word that is followed by the words put off, aorist, middle infinitive. The verb looks like this. Apotithemi. That's A-P-O-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. Apotithemi. And this particular word means to renounce or to set aside something or to keep something from having control over you. Apo, ultimate source, and it means you must do it from yourself. The word concerning is actually the preposition of norm or standard, and the word former means a way of life that existed before you were saved. Conversation, manner of life. Now, former manner of life means what you were or what you would be if you were an unbeliever. When you were an unbeliever, you had certain abilities, certain talents, and so on, and that is your former manner of life. You had a manner of life that existed before you were saved. Whatever strengths, whatever weaknesses, you might, as an unbeliever, be very, very religious. As an unbeliever, you might be very moral. As an unbeliever, you might be immoral. You might be self-righteous. You might be all sorts of things. And as a believer, under the control of the old sin nature, you are going to be exactly what you would be if you were not a believer. Now, don't misunderstand. You are a believer. You have accepted Christ as Savior. You are a child of God. That's settled. That's final. That's it. But when you are controlled by your old sin nature, you revert under the control of the old sin nature to what you would be like as an unbeliever. So if you really want to know what you're like as an unbeliever, all you have to do is be out of fellowship and stay out for a while, and you'll find out exactly what you would be like if you were an unbeliever. Now, you're not, But former manner of life refers to what you are before you accept Christ as Savior. And when you get out of fellowship, you might be very self-righteous. You might be very moral. You might be very religious. You might be very immoral. You might be a lot of things. But whatever you are, that's exactly what you would be if you had not, of course, accepted Christ as your Savior. So this is saying to put off control. Now let's take a look at the soul for a minute. The soul has self-consciousness. You're aware of your own existence. Mentality, this is where you do your thinking. Volition, this is the decider of the soul. Emotion, this is the appreciator of the soul. Conscience, the norms and standards of the soul, and the old sin nature, which is the corrupter of the soul. The soul has a left lung. These apertures represent the left bank, designed for the inhale of doctrine and designed for the exhale or the application of doctrine toward God. The soul also has a right bank designed for exhale of doctrine toward people. This is the side that produces divine good. Divine good is exhaled from this side. The old sin nature does not have apertures because the old sin nature came into existence through man's negative volition in the original sin. And therefore, since this is the basis of spiritual death, there are no apertures opposite the old sin nature. Now at each end of the soul, at the top end, we have the Holy Spirit. And when He controls the life, then you have something we'll see a little later on. At the other end of the soul, we have the old sin nature. And if the Holy Spirit controls your life, one thing is true. If the old sin nature controls the life, the other thing is true. Now, putting off the according to the standard of the former manner of life, the old man refers to the old sin nature. So here is the old man. Called in the old man because it came originally through Adam. Adam was the originator of this old sin nature. He is the first one to have it, he and the woman. So we have a struggle now between the old sin nature and the Holy Spirit in your life. They're at opposite ends of the soul. When the Holy Spirit controls your life, one thing is true. When the old man controls your life, something else is true. You are carnal, and when you are controlled by that old sin nature, you are going to produce what you would produce as an unbeliever. So putting off, according to the standard of the former manner of life, the old man is a reference to the rebound technique. It means getting into fellowship. The old man is said to be corrupt, and this is a reference to the old sin nature. The old sin nature which is constantly depraved according to the deceitful lusts. Now, actually, this is not the passage we want to study tonight, but it is the passage which is the background for what we're about to study. You have to understand a couple of things first. And the first thing that you have to understand is this particular principle that you cannot be controlled by the old sin nature and live the Christian life. The fact that the old sin nature is there is obvious. Everyone has an old sin nature. And if you're controlled by it, you can never execute the will of God or the plan of God for your life or have some of the fantastic things that God wants you to have. So how do you get under the control of the Holy Spirit rather than the old sin nature? When you sin, you're out of fellowship. And the answer is the rebound technique. The rebound technique produces the filling of the Holy Spirit controlling the life. And this is what must first be accomplished. The filling of the Holy Spirit must exist before what we have in the next few verses can be a reality in the life. Now, actually, I want to start tonight with verse 23, which is the solution to scar tissue of the soul, the solution to carnality of the soul, the basis, this is the operational basis for happiness in your life. So here's the word begins in verse 23, verses 23 and 24. Verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The word and is a little conjunction. It can be used for a lot of things. It's the word duh, D-E. Here it is actually used for a conjunction of contrast. And it should be translated under those circumstances, but this is a contrast between the carnal status of the believer with scar tissue and the spiritual status of the believer inhaling and exhaling doctrine. In other words, there's a contrast here. On this side, duh is a dividing line. this is addressed to believers who are carnal, believers who are controlled by their old sin nature. And because of their control by the old sin nature, they are negative toward doctrine. They are building scar tissue on the left bank. The old sin nature produces mental attitude sins and sins like adultery, and they're putting scar tissue on the right bank, and they're evacuating through the old sin nature, sometimes human good and sometimes sin. But they are building scar tissue, and if they build it all the way up across, of course, that means the sin unto death when they fill this up. Now, there is the spiritual believer, and he is introduced at this particular point, beginning in verse 23. And he also has the left and right bank of the soul, and his old sin nature is being controlled because he has the filling of the Holy Spirit. And under the conditions of the filling of the Spirit, he is taking Bible doctrine through the left bank into his soul, and he does have doctrine in his soul. This is important. Doctrine does exist in his soul. He has the inhale and the exhale of Bible doctrine. That much is very, very important at this particular point. He inhales doctrine, he exhales Bible doctrine. All right, now looking again at verse 23. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, but. Now, this word, this little dividing line, this particle, is actually a very, very important divider. On one side, we have the carnal Christian in the previous verse, and I'm not developing that because most of you are familiar with that principle. On the other side, we have the spiritual Christian who can be grow up in a hurry. Jay, would you lean through there and tell somebody to come on in? That's it. Yeah, we can't have people standing at the doors. All right, anybody else? Somebody's at this door. Come on in, hon. I haven't started yet. That's it. Ephesians 4:23. Anybody out here? I can't see. Anyone hiding anywhere now? Come out wherever you are. I want to get cranked up with this thing. Jack, you feel like being called on tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay, did you run your 2.5 miles today? Your excuse from being called on. Okay. All right. Now, but be renewed. Here's where you start to live the Christian life. Be renewed. Present passive infinitive of ana noeo. Let's take a look at the verb. Ana noeo. A-N-A-N-O-E-O. Ana noeo. Now, our neo-o. I always get this word mixed up with another word. It's neo-o. This is B-N-E-O-O. This E and O should be reversed. Neo-o. Ana neo-o. Now, ana means again and again, and neo-o, the verb, which looks like this, neo-o means to renew. So it means to renew again and again and again. In other words, it's referring to the fact that when you are out of fellowship, you're carnal and under the control of the old sin nature. See, that's the previous verse. And when you rebound or confess your sins and name them, you're back in fellowship and you are renewed again. So renewing again is simply another way of stating the rebound technique. But that is only the beginning of this renewal, because this renewal must be followed by a breathing process, the inhale and exhale of Bible doctrine, which is coming up in the next verse. And this is a stronger renewal than just rebound, because it brings in breathing. Present tense, you must keep on doing this as long as you are in phase two. You should take in doctrine every day. And this is a passive voice, which means you receive this renewal, you take in doctrine. And this is also an infinitive, which expresses God's purpose. So we have here something a little different than just the ordinary rebound. See, actually, rebound is putting away. In the previous verse, putting away is simply confessing or naming your sins and getting back in fellowship. Now we're going to, and that gives you the filling of the Holy Spirit. Once you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to do something with it, and the doing something with it is renewing again. And that is our word, ana-ni-o-o. A-N-A-N-E-O-O. Now, ana-ni-o-o is going to be very clearly defined here in a minute by something else. Literally, the breathing of your mind. Be renewed again and again by the breathing of your mind. The word in your English here is a little off base. It's the word spirit. The word spirit means three things. Here's the word which is used. Pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma is used, one, for the Holy Spirit. It is used, two, for the human spirit. It is used, three, for breathing, for air. Pneuma means air or breathing. Now, the literal translation here, receive restoration or renewing again and again by breathing of your mind. Your mind has to breathe. Just as you have physical breathing, so you also have mental breathing. Physical breathing is inhale, exhale. The air goes into the lungs. It hits the bronchus, then there's a right and left bronchus, they branch, and then from there it goes to the primary, the secondary, the tertiary, and there's a little sac here, and when the air gets into that sac, this sac pulls the oxygen out of it and transfers it to the bloodstream so that you have oxygen in your bloodstream. And out then going back, the tertiary, the secondary, the primary, and out, in this case, the starboard bronchus from your side, and up the bronchial tube, and in the exhale you have carbon dioxide. Now that's why you're alive. That's why you're here. And just as that process exists physically in your body, there is exactly the same thing in your mind. Here is the noose, which we have studied before. This is the mentality of the soul. Here's where all of your thoughts, this is the box that holds your thoughts. And when you inhale doctrine, now here is that aperture, and when that's open and you're taking doctrine in there, doctrine comes into the mind. And then you exhale out the same way. But you leave some behind, of course, and that's residual doctrine, which comes up in the next verse. You see, you inhale 3,000 cc's of air. No matter how hard you blow it out, you can only get rid of about 1,500 cc's or half of it. In other words, when you inhale, you take in 3,000 cc's. When you exhale 1,500, and that leaves 1,500 behind. See, that's a very simple math problem. All of you can pass that one. And this is what is called residual oxygen, which is left in the lungs for all kinds of special activities. So you have residual oxygen. Now, on the same principle, when you daily inhale doctrine, doctrine comes into the mind. See, that's the breathing of the mind. And you exhale doctrine toward God. That's left bank. In other words, that's the capacity to love God, category one love. And that category one love will include faith, rest, prayer, and so on. And you also exhale out the other lung toward people. You have left residual doctrine. And that is the foundation for the erection of the edification of the soul, which is our study tonight. And that is the secret to your happiness, your growth, your blessing, your orientation, everything that's important. All right. But keep on renewing again and again the breathing of your mind. That is the daily inhale of Bible doctrine. And when that happens, you are going to erect in your soul a structure of edification. And this is brought out now by verse 24. And that ye put on the new man. Now, for a whole generation, we've had fundamentalist ministers that talk about the old man and the new man. The old man is the old sin nature, and there's no problem. But the new man is some ethereal, abstruse, nebulous type of thing that no one really has ever explained. Dr. Ironside used to talk about the black dog and the white dog, and they're fighting inside of you. And then the Indian asked Dr. Ironside, well, which one is winning? And he says, the one to whom you say, sick 'em. And that's a very beautiful and very humorous illustration, but doesn't prove anything. and it doesn't mean anything. The question is, what is the new man that you're told to put on? Well, let's first of all see what we're to do here. Put on. Aorist, middle infinitive. Aorist tense, point of time. Middle voice, you're benefited. Infinitive, this is a purpose. Aorist tense is this point of time, this point of time, this point of time, this point of time. In other words, the aorist tense gathers up into one ball of wax these points of time when you're breathing. See the previous verse, the breathing of the mind. So the mind breathes here, inhale of doctrine. The mind breathes the next day, 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 and you gather that into one ball of wax. Why? Because through a daily process of inhale, exhale, soul breathing, you build up in the soul an edification structure. The edification structure of the soul. Alright, that you put on, and this means to clothe the soul with the new man. And the new man, well, let's take a look. The word new is kainos. It means new in species. K-A-I-N-O-S. New in species. There's another Greek word, neos. Neos, N-E-O-S, means new in point of time. Like you have a new shirt or new shoes. That's new in point of time. But if you came out with a pair of supersonic winged shoes made out of some kind of an electronic system to which you attach lightning and you move very rapidly, that would be a pair of kainos shoes. So the word neos isn't used here. New in species. Put on, clothe your soul with something new that's different from anything that exists on the earth. And the word man is the old anthropomorphic word anthropos. A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-S. This is a generic term for the human race. But here, anthropos is used for a principle, a structure, which changes man. The word new indicates something in man that changes him. So, and to be sure that we understand this is new in species and something that changes, we have the word after God. The word after is the preposition kata, according to the norm or standard of God. So God has actually something new for the believers. Now let's get a corrected translation and get into what is the new man. And that you clothe the soul with the new man according to the standard of God. Clothe the soul with the new man according to the standard of God. Now this new man is said to be created. Aorist passive participle. And the word created, let's get this much of it, looks like this, katizo. K-T-I-Z-O. Katizo. Katizo means to call something into being, to create something. The verb goes with the adjective new. God has created something new for the Christian. Now, whether you get it or not depends on whether you breathe with your mind. There are two things you have to do first. You have to put off the old man, rebound. Then you have to start taking in doctrine, and that is the breathing of the mind. So there are two things before you can put new clothes on your soul. One, the rebound technique, verse 22, put away the old man. Two, you have to start inhaling doctrine, the breathing of the mind, inhale, exhale, a Bible doctrine. So here's the inhale, exhale. Then, once you do those two things, this gives you the filling of the Holy Spirit, and this gives you knowledge of doctrine. With these two things, the filling of the Holy Spirit plus knowledge of doctrine, you now have the basis for creating something new in your soul, a new man, a new species, which is actually created. And this new species is an edification structure, and it is said to be created in righteousness, which isn't righteousness. It means generosity or fairness or even justice, and it's a word for grace orientation. And the word true holiness is literally devotion to doctrine. All right, let's get the full translation, and then we'll work on the principle of doctrine here. But that you clothe the soul with a new man. Let's get the corrected translation. But, conjunction of contrast, clothe the soul with the new man. New man, is what we're going to study tonight, the edification complex of the soul. Purpose tonight is to teach the doctrine of edification, that you put on the new man. Edification structure according to the standard of God, which according to the standard of God is created in grace orientation and devotion to doctrine. It is created in grace orientation and devotion to doctrine. Now, do you all want to recite tonight or should we press on? I think we better press on, don't you? All right. Now we're ready for it. Everything here, the whole understanding of the new man depends upon the doctrine of edification. This is the building of a structure in the soul. Point one in the doctrine of edification. Let's get some Greek words. There are three Greek nouns around which the doctrine is built. The first of these nouns looks like this. This is all point one. Oikodome. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. Oikodome. Oikodome means the act of building or erecting a structure. The act of building or erecting a structure. Now that's the first noun. The second word is very similar. Oikodomio. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-I-A. And oikodomia means the result. The building is finished. The result, like the Parthenon in Athens. The third is oikodomos, which looks like this in the English. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-O-S. And oikodomos means the builder. And Bible doctrine is the builder. Bible doctrine is the breathing of the mind. Now let's be sure we understand. Verse 22, rebound technique, 1 John 1, 9. Verse 23, inhaling, exhaling Bible doctrine. So the builder is Bible doctrine. Now these three words actually are found throughout the New Testament. Let's find some of the ways in which they're used. Point two, the biblical usage of the word edification. Point one is the etymology of these words in the Greek. Point two is the usage of these words. And I want to cite a few references to show you what is meant. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 4, the word edification is used three times. Notice verse 12. For the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, this is the gift of pastor-teacher. Explain. What is the purpose of the gift of pastor-teacher? To build an edification complex in the soul of every believer priest. To build an edification complex. Let's begin to look at this edification complex. Here is the left bank of the soul. Now, let's see, we have five there, all right. First of all, Bible doctrine is out here. It's in the Word. And the pastor teacher must be able to analyze this, which is exegesis, and then categorize this, break it down into its doctrines, and communicate it. So the pastor teacher communicates to the soul of the believer priest. Now, the believer priest can only take this in if he is filled with the Holy Spirit. There must be the filling of the Spirit. And that is the IRC, the Involuntary Respirational Center. At the brain stem, you actually have a mechanism by which you breathe. You have automatic breathing. You breathe when you're asleep. You may say to yourself, I'm going to commit suicide by holding my breath. And you go, hup, and you hold your breath. And then you hold it for a while. And as you hold your breath, you voluntarily cut off, as it were, for a moment, the operation of the IRC. But you can't cut it off permanently. Why? Because when the carbon dioxide of the blood, the CO2, reaches a certain stage, it triggers it again. And pretty soon, and the first time it triggers, you start gasping. In other words, you cannot beat the IRC. You can determine to hold your breath and cut it off temporarily. But as the oxygen leaves the blood and CO2 is built up, it automatically triggers it. So that the IRC causes the breathing process. Now, the only other thing that you have to have available is oxygen, and the oxygen is equivalent in our analogy to doctrine. See, here's your O2. And this O2 is communicated by the pastor teacher. Now, with your IRC, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit, you take in doctrine. You not only take in doctrine, but you exhale. But when you exhale, you always leave residual doctrine behind, just as you do in breathing. You exhale to the best of your ability, and you still have residual air in the lungs. Now, let's take a look at it. Here it is. This is the left bank, and you have now exhaled. Over here is the right bank. What is left is RD, residual doctrine, and that is the foundation for the erection of an edification structure. Now, on this structure, this depends on daily inhale of Bible doctrine. On this structure, first of all, is erected the first floor. And the first floor is grace orientation. The second floor, is inner happiness, which we often call joy. The third floor is an RMA, a relaxed mental attitude, agape love. The fourth floor is capacity to love in all categories. And the fifth floor is the mastery of the details of life. And without this edification structure, you will never have the happiness that God has designed for your life. And this is built on residual doctrine. And residual doctrine comes from the breathing of your mind. And this means you have to take in doctrine every day to build this structure. Now, you're kidding yourself. Human happiness is temporary and fleeting. Human happiness depends on circumstances and the details of life. If you're ever going to have a permanent type happiness, if you're going to have the wonderful life that God has designed for you in the devil's world, you must have this building in your soul. This is the edification complex. This is the new man. And you have to have this new man. And this new man is the greatest thing in the world. It's something designed by God. Your soul has a structure erected in it through inhale of Bible doctrine. And this structure is the basis for your happiness, your stability, your blessing, everything that's important in the devil's world. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't get along without it. So here is how, one, you have the renewing of your mind, and two, this is how you get the new man. This is the new species. Here is a species that cannot exist in the soul of the unbeliever. This is something brand new that could only exist in the one who is born again, and it is a brand new species. Now, this word is also used in Acts 9:31. When you get a whole church full of people like this, you have the greatest atmosphere in the world. This side of heaven, the greatest atmosphere, is in a church which is edified. Next, we have this word used in connection with the gift of tongues, in contrast to it, in 1 Corinthians 14:3, 4, 12, and 26, four verses in 1 Corinthians 14, we find that the objective of the Christian life is edification, not speaking in tongues. So there's a contrast. Speaking in tongues is a lot, now that the gift is gone, anyone who claims it, it's emotional tripe. Whereas edification is the Christian life, the edification complex of the soul. And that's what they teach. Then in 1 Corinthians 8:1, you've all heard people use this goofy verse out of its context. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. And they say, see, you shouldn't learn so much doctrine. Now, the word for knowledge is human knowledge, academic knowledge, like Immanuel Kant in his categorical imperatives, like the work of Spinoza, like the work of Descartes. That's knowledge that puffeth up, not Bible doctrine. And this passage actually says knowledge, human knowledge, puffs up, but the edification structure of the soul glorifies God. So there's actually a contrast here. Doctrine taken into the soul through the filling of the Spirit edifies. And so in 1 Corinthians 8:1 we have the word edify. Human knowledge puffs up, but doctrine taken into the soul through the filling of the Spirit edifies. And then the communication gifts are designed for edification. 2 Corinthians 10:8, 2 Corinthians 13:10. Now let's take another look at this involuntary respiratory center, this IRC, because if you're going to have this structure, you have to start with the IRC, or the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is the way you start. You cannot breathe in the mind. This takes us back again to verse 22. This again is the breathing, automatic breathing apparatus. It keeps man breathing when he's asleep and at all times. It's equivalent to the filling of the Spirit. And it is based upon the IRC takes oxygen in and leaves some of the O2 and exhales about half of it out. And this is called residual oxygen. And so the IRC, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit, makes it possible for you to learn doctrine, and you exhale doctrine and exhale doctrine, but that is not the primary purpose of the Christian life. You've all been victimized by someone who says to you, now look, you're like a stagnant lake. You're taking too much doctrine in and you're not putting it out. And that is sheer malarkey. You actually, the doctrine that is going to do you the most good is the doctrine you don't apply. It's the doctrine left behind in your soul. Because it is residual doctrine on which this edification complex is built. And therefore, you can't learn enough doctrine. You must learn and learn and learn, and you'll never learn enough. And it isn't the doctrine that you apply that's most important. It's the doctrine in your soul that never gets out, but is the foundation for the structure of your soul. And this is where people are all bollocksed up. Because they all want, now be careful, you're getting too much doctrine, you must apply more, and so on. You see, this is where, and putting on the new man, this new man is on the inside. This new man is created according to divine standards. This new man is grace orientation. This new man is inner happiness, this great structure. So we have to be very careful about this. All right, first of all then, the IRC is the automatic breathing process, and that's equivalent to the filling of the Spirit. Now you can see why rebound is important, but here's a problem. Suppose that you rebound, you're filled with the Spirit, you sin, you rebound, you're filled with the Spirit, and you do not, and you're negative toward doctrine. You're going to be a baby all of your life. You'll be filled with the Spirit, but you're negative toward doctrine. And when you're negative toward doctrine, when you're filled with the Spirit, okay, you're going to get out of fellowship, be carnal. But that's all right. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit again, and you're going to rebound all of your life. And you're going to say, rebound doesn't work. I don't understand. I don't grow. Nothing seems to happen. I'm not getting moving along. Well, the point is, the filling of the Holy Spirit comes from rebound, but the filling of the Holy Spirit is designed for the breathing of the mind, and no breathing of the mind, no growth. No doctrine, no growth. In other words, two things actually happen. First of all, we have, as a result of taking in doctrine, we have oikodomia. Oikodomia is the result. This is the structure completed. Oikodomia is a completed structure that starts with residual doctrine, grace orientation in the soul, inner happiness, relaxed mental attitude, capacity to love in all categories, and mastery of the details of life. Now that is oikodomia. And oikodomia is the same then as epinosis, which is found so often. Full knowledge of God. Now that's important, you see. That's the direction in which you have to go. So the first prerequisite is the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the second prerequisite is learning doctrine. The first prerequisite is found in verse 22, put off the old man, and that means rebound. And in verse 23, the second prerequisite is the breathing of the mind. And the breathing of the mind produces the edification structure. Now once again, the edification structure of the soul. Here is the left bank of the soul. Here is the right bank of the soul. And here is doctrine which stays behind, residual doctrine. On it is built grace orientation, inner happiness. This is great right here. The relaxed mental attitude in life. Next, you have this capacity to love in all categories, and next you have mastery of the details of life. And with this edification complex in the soul, you can't miss in the Christian life. Now in verse 25, the next verse in this particular section, it says, therefore we have some results of edification. Putting away lying. Now the word lying isn't lying. Now of course, I'm sure that as a Christian, you've lied. I mean, so you've lied to someone sometime. I'm not going to tell you when. I'm not going to ask you if you've never lied, because you might lie to me by saying you've never lied. Everyone lies. Under the control of the old sin nature, it's the easiest way out of a lot of things. Some people lie so often they think they're telling the truth because all they ever do is lie. If you keep lying and never do anything else but lie, you think you're telling the truth after a while. All lies are truth. See, that's a rationalization. Maybe you're a little too young for that yet, but it'll come. Now, the word lying isn't lying here. That's, of course, here there's a little dissertation on lying, and we don't really have lying here. What we do have is a technical phrase called the lie. And before we get to it, let's find out, first of all, how we're to put it away. We have the word again, apotithemi, the one we started with tonight. The one in verse 22, putting away the old man. Apotithemi. It means to take off, to put away, to renounce, or to remove. Now we are told to renounce the lie. This is a technical word. The lie. The lie in the Greek here is the word to pseudos. This is the article to, and here is the noun pseudos. To the P-S-E-U-D-O-S. And to-pseudos helps us because the devil has a pseudo-edification system that has to be put away. And his pseudo-edification system, instead of being built on residual doctrine, is built on religion and legalism. It's built on religion. Next is legalism orientation instead of grace orientation. Next, instead of inner happiness, it has a human system of stimulation, so we can have HS, human stimulation. And instead of a relaxed mental attitude, it has a mental attitude of assuaging one's lust pattern by overcoming and pushing people around. It has pseudo-love, and it has the slavery to the details of life. So, you have to put away slavery to the details of life. That's the top floor. The next one down is pseudo-love. The next one down has to do with mental attitude sins, which produce self-induced misery. The next one down has to do with pseudo-happiness. The next one down is legalism orientation, and it's all built upon religion. Now, this has to be renounced. And you see, how does this get in? When you have scar tissue on the soul, you open up mataiotes, and satanic doctrine comes through, and this is the structure that is built through satanic doctrine. So, renouncing the lie, putting aside the not lie, speak every man, literally each one. Once the edification structure is erected, every believer priest can communicate doctrine to another believer priest. And the initial communication is the responsibility of the pastor and teacher. But once the doctrine resides in the soul, there are two categories of production. So here we have it now. Speak each man. What is the first category? From his structure, residual doctrine, on which is built grace, orientation, on which is built inner happiness, on which is built a relaxed mental attitude. This is joy. This is agape love. On which is built capacity to love. On which is built mastery of the details of life. Now that's the inner production, the edification of the soul. But the overt production is divine good. And that means divine good produced from the ordinary things of life. The expression of the divine viewpoint, which is given in context, speak every man or each man to the other. And the other is the ministry of comfort and encouragement. Speak each man with his neighbor. That means someone near you, someone in your vicinity. And it means a fellow believer here. And what are we to speak? The truth. And the word for truth is not simply telling people the truth, but aletheia. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia is a system of doctrine, a system of truth, and Artin Gingrich, which is one of the latest things as far as study of words is concerned, says it is the content of Christianity, the absolute truth. In other words, it's doctrine. So, you are speaking from residual doctrine. Why? Well, we are members one of another. We belong to the same body. We are members of the same family. And what this is actually saying then is this. If every believer in his relationship with other believers bases that upon the edification structure of the soul, then the relationship between believers will be terrific. It'll be fantastic. The impact will be great. This inner happiness finds its inner happiness over here. And this relaxed mental attitude meets this relaxed mental attitude. And there's a capacity to love that goes two ways. And they can enjoy the details of life because the details of life, they are masters and not the slaves to them. And they are grace-oriented all the way. And they have something common in Bible doctrine. Therefore, the relationship is as great as a relationship can be, where you have the edification complex within the soul of believers in the same area. Once again, this verse says, because of which, having renounced the lie, habitually communicate doctrine, each one with his neighbor, because we are members one of another. All right, let's pick a section or a row. Let's pick those three girls back there having a good time. You three girls stand up, will you? Okay, come on. That's right. All three of you. Now, you tell me one thing. Each one of you tell me one thing that you've learned tonight. Just one, that's all. Very simple. You can read it if you have notes. You can read your notes. If you can read your writing. That's right. Speak with authority. Yeah, that may be all right, may not. It's a little hard to tell from here. Next. All right, young lady, the one in the purple now. That is purple, isn't it? Okay. Just tell me anything you've learned. Have you heard anything tonight? You learn anything? Figures. Next. I know that. All right, you all be sitting down. I picked that row first because they've had a great time back there. And they've had a kind of a quiet great time. Not a lot of you were watching them. But they haven't learned anything. Of course, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, they're all happy and giggles and young now, but what's going to happen when the pressure hits? Well, we'll find out. All right, let's pick another row. Let's see, we got kind of a middle section right through here. Right behind Mr. Phoenix. Those ladies, well, no, Patsy, we are excused on account of you just got back. But these right in here, there are four right together. Yeah, that's right. Nah, you got it. Two and two. There you go. You all stand up. Yeah, that's right. Fine. And the two in front. That's it. Now we've got the group. Now, all right, let's start. Ladies first. We'll start with the young lady in the white blouse. Just one thing. Of course, hard to remember when you're standing your feet, I know that. Keep cool. Okay, next. Okay, next. Back row. Next. Okay, fine. Thank you. Bobby Pruitt. One thing you've learned tonight. All right, list the
the area of the edification structure of the soul. Okay. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of studying thy word. May God the Holy Spirit use these things to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.